You're listening to Face of a Feminist with Laura Diaz and Marissa Clark.
Hey, you're listening to Face of a Feminist. I'm Laura Diaz.
And I'm Marissa Clark.
Here we are again.
We're back, except we're in a different kitchen.
Yeah, yours.
This time, yeah. We're mixing it up a little bit.
You live in a box.
I live in a box and on the third story. So if I'm breathing heavily, it's because I just ran up three flights of stairs.
How many square feet is this?
700, wow. Give or take.
So 200 feet less and it would be a tiny house.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, the biggest tiny house is 500 square feet. And then once you get past 500 square feet, it's no longer allowed to be called a tiny house.
Well, I imagine that given, because there's a couple of closets behind you, so probably the living space is a tiny house, basically.
See, to me, this is perfectly fine.
Oh my God. This is where something you and I do not agree at all. Because you think, like a crazy person, that you could actually live and enjoy your life in a tiny house.
I think not only could I live here in this 700 square foot, not a studio. It's no. A one bedroom.
It's a one bedroom. Yeah.
I could live here with my two children and husband.
Nope. You're crazy.
And we'd be fine.
You should be evaluated for
this. Well, I was, and I'm very mentally ill. Does that make you feel good?
Oh, it makes it, everything makes sense a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I actually have my next psychiatrist appointment Friday. Good. So how about that? Good making fun of the disabled.
Well, I am the same way. We see the same psychiatrist. So who's to judge?
Same psychiatrist, different mental illnesses.
We cover all
it's a
ranges.
Variety.
We can relate to anyone with anything.
We're riding on the bipolar express today.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, I guarantee that your children would not like living in this tiny house because
they'd love it. They love anything I do. Oh, it's okay. Almost unfair.
Speaking of, I'm really glad that you're on the discussion of your children because I have something that I wanted to bring up.
What?
Yesterday, or on our last podcast, you mentioned that you wanted to have an intervention for me. And I discovered that you also are worthy of an intervention.
For many reasons.
Right.
Which one is it today?
What is it going to be today? So you know that I'm a lover of reality TV, everything ranging from, I'm a dancer, so I love Dance Moms. I want children so that I can put them in pageants and be a pageant mom.
Right.
Toddlers in tiaras. And Nora, your beautiful, beautiful four-year-old daughter, I recently found out is doing piano lessons, correct?
Right.
So you mentioned that she's also doing a piano recital coming up.
Right.
And I'm afraid, with all the love and respect in the world to you, that you're turning into a stage mom.
Not at all.
No, but you're wrong. Okay. I don't know how interventions are supposed to go because I've never actually had one that's effective.
If the person's in denial, that's step one. So maybe I'm in denial, but I think you're unequivocally wrong.
So here's a couple of examples. I was told that there's bribery involved if she doesn't get something perfect.
That is not true.
I'm told that there's endless rehearsals just for her opening speech that she has to give.
Also incorrect. Fake news.
Fake news. I was also told that there is pressure to be a professional pianist and or Olympic ice skater. We haven't even touched ice skating yet because there hasn't been any competitions.
She doesn't know that yet though.
But there isn't the desire to, Laura.
In me.
Right, but you're pressuring her. That's how it all starts. You're living vicariously through her and that's what these dance and these pageant moms do.
Well, I'll give you that.
Okay,
I'll give you
so
that.
Now we're making progress. Maybe I am really good at this intervention thing.
I'll give you that. I always wished I could have ice skated, okay, and I always wished I could have played the piano.
Check.
So, coincidence?
Is there
possibly?
Is there bribery involved?
Okay, the bribery thing is an unfair statement because what mom doesn't bribe their kids with candy? All of them do it.
Give me an example of how you bribe her with candy.
Well, I got her a thing of M&Ms before we went to piano lesson the other day. I happened to have needed her to stop eating it halfway through because we were already running late to the lesson. So I put the other half of the bag in my pocket. We went to the lesson. She was not focusing on the lesson. And so I said, I had to interrupt the lesson to say, if you would like the other half of the M&Ms, focus.
There's a particular episode of Toddlers in Tiaras where they're called go-go sticks, which are pixie sticks with, you know, the powdered sugar, basically.
Right.
And they bribe them by giving them the go-go stick if you behave well. And then they get on stage and they're freaking maniacs. They're crazy. That's exactly what is happening to Nora.
Well, I'm doing something right because she's awesome.
Oh, my God.
So I guess I need to up the pressure. First of all, so
is
yes.
there endless amounts of practicing? How many times
have you
rehearsed her opening speech?
The only reason I'm rehearsing her, first of all, she's four. She's like really terrified. So I think that the rehearsing of the opening speech, like, hello, I'm Nora and I'm going to play Hot Cross Buns. I like to do this over and over because otherwise she's going to be terrified and run off the stage. So if we do it over and over, it'll be like nothing. I see nothing wrong with rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And the bribery, I already said, like potty training, I've used candy and things like that. They say to put like little Cheerios in the toilet for boys to potty train. What's the difference between that and piano?
I'm just saying I'm witnessing some early symptoms. I'm not saying this is a full-blown stage mom yet, but I'm just saying that between piano and ice skating, there are solid examples of why one should be concerned for you.
Well,
that's all. That's all I'm saying.
Well, fine. I appreciate your concern.
You're welcome. And you're never going to change it.
Will not take it to heart. But thank you for your concern.
Glad we agree on that.
Could I also just call myself out? Because we recently had a parent-teacher conference.
Yeah.
And did I tell you what she said?
No. I'm dying to know, though.
She's in preschool, keep in mind.
Okay.
And the teacher was like, no, it's great. She's a delight. I'm a little concerned that she's a perfectionist.
No, Laura!
She said that whenever the teacher has to raise her voice in any way to Nora, which is an obvious sign that either she's not doing the correct thing or she's about to get in trouble, she starts welling up.
Laura.
Like her little eyes, because she'll say is Nora and then her last name, and she just starts welling up. That's it. That's all she has to say. And she says Nora's just such a perfectionist that she wants to get it perfect.
It's weird because I wonder where she gets that from. I have no idea.
Okay, so I'll give you that. So it's all coming together for me right now.
Yeah. So what was your reaction? What did you tell the teacher?
Well, my husband looked right at me when she's he looked right at me.
I know, it's not me.
He's like, I wonder where she got that from. I'm like, whatever, Mr. Anxiety. That's coming with our second kid. He's already an anxious Annie, so I don't even want to hear it.
Oh my God.
All right, so I'm going to work on my
You're going to work on your over parenting as much as I'm going to work on my laziness, which is probably none at all.
And you're not going to work on it. So exactly. I'm not going to work on my. Okay, that's what you're
saying.
We're
just accepting our flaws here is what this is.
Although I will say Tiger Woods didn't get to where he got because his dad wasn't giving him M&Ms.
Maybe I can get you a book or something. Maybe I should get you like a.
Aren't
like
you the product of a stage mom?
Yeah, but look how great I turned out.
Not true. Okay, I'm going to stop. Thank you. That's all I needed, Marissa. That's all I needed. You're Hot Mess Express.
I am Hot Mess Express.
Speaking of Hot Mess Express, I was talking to my friend, and you will not even believe the guy that she's dating.
Oh, is it going to make me feel better about being single? Yes. It could be worse?
So, yes. Okay. So, actually, it's something that I always think about because there are, like, two types of women in the world. The ones who cannot be alone.
Right.
And then you. Right?
Yes.
Isn't that the case? People like, who's perpetually single?
Who enjoy being alone to a fault.
Right.
Right. Like, these
are the opposites.
There's a difference between being independent and being too independent.
I don't know. So like I was just like thinking about it because this is a girl who cannot be alone.
Okay.
And I'll like you probably have met her at some point mm-hmm. and are knowing each other. She cannot be like it's almost ridiculous to the point where it sometimes overlaps a little. So there's never a day.
She's always got the backup ready to go.
She's got B, C, D, E. Always ready for mm-hmm. the one day that it could be one night alone. And it's so unhealthy. It's like the saddest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, you know, with Face of a Feminist, I'm like, you got it, girl. You know, you're powerful. You don't need a man and like all this stuff. And she's just like such an insecure mess. So like, I wonder how, is there any fixing that?
No, you know,
when you're a grown woman?
Right. I think that that's an excellent question because I also can think of two people right off the top of my head. My first answer is always therapy. Obviously not going to work for everyone.
And of course, we throw antidepressants down everyone's throat.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't come to us for this kind of advice unless you're prepared to be medicated. And
I think
a
I already mentioned that she should take medicine.
Okay. Yeah. So
but.
She's prepared for that. What else could someone do who cannot stand being alone?
Well, I just don't know that. I just don't know as a grown woman.
Yeah.
You can change that. Like for me, I'm that person.
Yeah.
I'm not as bad as her.
Well, I was going to say because you. I always had relationship after relationship growing up. But do you think that there was a cause to that, that you could identify maybe why you always felt like you had to have someone there with you?
Oh my God, daddy issues.
Okay,
like,
so maybe she has daddy issues. Do you think that it was because you always needed a man in your life? You needed that male figure?
No, you just wanted, for me at least, and see, I think everyone's is so different. Like, I'm trying to think of anyone that I know that is always in a relationship, even bad ones, that like doesn't have some sort of like sad sob story in their childhood.
Yeah.
And then I think of you, and you had like the perfect upbringing. Yeah. So, you know, perfect in quotes. Of course, no one's perfect. But, and I'm like, and you're single and like, fine with it. And then I'm like, so that the key? You can be perfectly single forever if you had a nice upbringing?
Like a childhood? I don't know. I would equate it to that feeling of, you know, maybe needing attention from someone if you weren't getting attention from your parents when you were, you know, being raised, or your dad was abandoned you or something like that. Then you always needed someone there to give you that attention, because I think people that always have to perpetually be in relationships are not content with themselves, because if they're alone, they start thinking about all the problems that are wrong with them, and maybe they just don't want to address it. You know, they always need, their self-esteem has to come from somebody else.
That's definitely what
it is. It doesn't come from yourself.
You just hit it right on the nail. For sure. All of that stuff is all true. Yes, I didn't get enough attention. Mm-hmm. Yes, daddy didn't love me. All these things. So I'm like, I think you just seek that daddy that figure, especially in my case at least. But, and not everybody has daddy issues who can't be single.
Right.
They have other issues.
So that, and that's where I think the self-esteem thing comes in, where it's like, if you're not content being alone, if you're in your mind too much, or, you know, you don't feel confident by yourself, so you need that your mate to give you that confidence. Like the one friend that I'm thinking of, I know exactly that that's her case. Like, she's definitely not happy with herself, so she always has to have someone reassuring you, like, you look beautiful today, or you know, I love you, or whatever, because she doesn't love herself, which is so sad.
So like, I put my husband through the ringer when we were dating because I wanted to be sure there was no way he would leave me at any point down the road. And that is just so terrible, but I will say it has served me well, because I found this great guy who is like unconditional, ride or die.
Mike is the definition of ride or die.
No, the guy is just like my number one cheerleader. He's a great dad. He's all these great things. So I'm like, looking around in my life, like, you know what? There is some value to being like that, to being like so insecure that you just assume everyone's going to leave you and they're all out to get you. Mm-hmm. Because when we were dating, I truly pushed him away 10,000 times.
Yeah. And
I
was like, always came back.
Always came back. And if he hadn't, then he wasn't the guy for me.
Exactly.
You know, and there was plenty of guys who I did and they didn't come back. Right. And I was like, well, good, because you're not the guy for me, because I'm going to test you to your, you know, sane brink.
Right.
And he's been at the brink with me.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I feel like there's so few Mikes in the world, though. You know, there's so few, like your friend, like, is she ever going to be able to find her Mike, or is she just going to be constantly bouncing from man to man to man?
She's a hot mess. She'll never find any guy of quality. And I feel perfectly confident saying that. No judgment. It's not that I'm judging her. I'm just saying this is a fact. This woman will, and she's not even really a friend.
Yeah.
She's like, a friend of a friend. This woman will never find somebody who's a decent human being, because you should see the people she is bringing home. Right. I mean, we are talking scum.
Yeah. Well, and that's everyone kind of jokes me, like, oh, you can't get a man. No, I could get a man. I could get, you know, Joe Schmo off the street, but we're looking for quality men, you know? And to me, your question to start all of us out, which I didn't have an answer until we sort of talked through it, I think the best advice for someone who is perpetually in a relationship is to not be in a relationship, to intentionally stay single.
It's impossible, though.
I know, but that's impossible. That's the only way you're going to break the cycle, is if you say for X amount of time, if for 6 months, I'm not going to date, I'm just going to, you know, that phrase, I'm going to focus on myself, truly focus physically, emotionally, only on yourself, and figure out, why do I need a man? Why do I need a woman? Why do I need that person in my life to give me the validation that I'm not giving myself?
I've always known why. I've always known I was messed up.
You didn't want to address it. You have to address it. And with all due respect, you still have issues that you're working through.
Well, I'm not really working through them. Just give me all the medicines. Give me all the head medicine.
You just happen to find someone who is going to allow you to take the medicine while working through it with him.
Yeah, I'm not really still working through it. But
someone should. That's my advice to you, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. And not to say to ditch Mike, but if you really take X amount of time.
No, so while we were dating, we broke up several times because I was always pushing him away. But I do remember there was a time, and you're going to laugh, we got a life coach.
Oh!
That's for another day.
No.
Hey, they can be pretty helpful.
I'm curious.
You should get one.
I've always been curious if that was a scam or not. And I'm sure there's some people that probably are. But if you find a legit one, like,
yeah, like this
what does
was
that even mean?
Okay, so she was like through a recommendation. So it's not like I Googled life coach and came up with this quack. She was like a therapist slash, you know, that's what you always got to get. Someone who like isn't just a life coach. Like they actually have some training in therapy, like licensed mental health or something. So she comes in and she's supposed to like evaluate you and like figure out what it is that's holding you back and all this. So like I forced Mike to do it with me.
What, Laura, the fact
we were just dating.
No.
Yes.
You weren't
we
even
were
married
still dating.
Or engaged?
No, we weren't even engaged.
Laura.
Oh and I was like, God. You want to get back with me? You're going to have to do this. And like this poor guy
it's
was
incredible.
Like sitting
he didn't
through
just,
this.
Like, go out with his friends and be like, dude, you're not going to believe what she made
oh,
me do.
Oh no. He knew I was nuts from day one. I think that's why he loves me so much. Yeah. It's a roller coaster. You never know who you're coming home to every day. It's a new woman.
You're never gonna know what to expect.
Some days I'm a peach.
A life coach.
Yeah, so we're sitting down with this life coach in my old, you know, house. I'm like, I don't know how old I was. And she's like, Laura, you're codependent. You're a mess. Mm-hmm. She's like, you cannot survive without Mike or someone. And it's sad. And you need to be alone. I was like, hysterical right. when she said that. She's like, look at you. She said that. She's like, look at you right now. And I was like, you know,
like
the hysterical, the ugly cry. You can't catch your breath. And Mike's over there looking at me like, cuckoo, cuckoo. So I'm like, call the authorities. She's a nut. But again, he stayed with me. So it's his problem. So anyway.
You can't say you didn't warn him. I mean, truly.
Oh, he was warned like multiple
it wasn't
times.
Like this is a new development.
I mean, I literally broke up with him three times.
Yeah,
so this, I was breaking up with him.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, so we're sitting through this thing and I was like, I don't want to be alone. And she's like, you have, before you continue with this relationship, you have to be alone. So I was alone for 3 months. Longest I've ever been alone in my entire life.
3 months?
3 months. I couldn't handle any more than that. I was calling Mike.
So you didn't have any contact with Mike
no,
during
for
that
3
time.
Months.
And you genuinely were, since you genuinely. Weren't like hooking up with people
no.
on the side or whatever. No,
it was like crack. I mean, I was like in a corner fetal position, rocking, like couldn't handle it.
So
like put the phone down, Laura.
Do you feel like you learned anything
oh,
from
yeah.
that?
No, I truly think that was a life-changing experience. You could laugh because it's only 3 months in
right.
an entire lifetime.
But for someone who is, you know,
I'm a fast
never
learner. What can I say? It was all very quick for me.
That's debatable. But yeah, no, I mean, I get what you're saying.
It was though. It was like, yes, it was only 3 months, but I sort of like got into wherever it is that I needed to get into that was so deep and dark and in there that had been like hidden for so long. Mm-hmm. And I may not have like busted open the doors, but I cracked
you
it.
You addressed it. And I think that's the most important thing. So here's my question to you. Do you feel like now at this stage in your 34?
Yeah.
Do you feel like at 34, God forbid, you know, Mike were to go off or whatever, do you feel like you're comfortable enough with yourself that you could be alone?
Yes.
Really?
Isn't that amazing?
That's shocking to me.
Yeah, actually, I always tell Mike, if we ever, this is a lovely sentiment, I tell my husband of 7 years all the
whenever
time.
Whenever you divorce me.
I'm always like, listen, if you ever want to leave me, and
I'll
say
okay.
that. And I'm always like, I'm not marrying again.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's lovely. It was such a lovely experience. You never want to get married again. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'd been there, done that. Marriage is a lovely thing. I'm glad I'm in it. I don't see myself ever not being in it. But if anything happened to us, I'm not marrying again.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. This is not, it's not really for me, like outside of this.
Right. Like,
you know,
he's worth it, but
you
wouldn't have to go seeking it in order to feel that same validation.
Which isn't that amazing for someone who can't be alone is what I'm trying to say.
It is.
Like, I actually see if he were to ever leave me, I see myself being so fine on my own. Cause you know what? I have the kids.
Well, that
so
was going to be my follow-up question. My follow-up question would be, when Nash and Nora go to college or grown up.
Yeah, then I would lose it.
Yeah.
But, and you know what? I would be, if I was alone with the kids, I would screw them up so bad.
Yeah.
Because I would like need them
right.
so much. Yeah. And I wouldn't be like fly bird fly.
You would be way worse of a stage parent than you are now.
I'd be so codependent too. Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing? Right. I'm a cool mom. I want to come.
Yeah, where are you? Where are we going tonight? And mom, we are not going anywhere.
Because it's all cute and fun when I have a 4 and 2 year old. Now when I have a 13-year-old and she doesn't like me anymore, I'm going to be a mess.
It's going to be a different story.
So maybe I'll do therapy then. I was going to say,
so remember this conversation and in 10 years, maybe you should revisit this.
Yeah, of course. I mean, just of course. It's just, I'm such a mess. But anyway, back to my friend who's like a worse mess, which I think is why I always like want to know what's going on in her life.
I'm starting to wonder if this is one of those like quote unquote friends or like it's really just a personal issue for you that we're bringing up.
Yeah. So my friend has an STD. Yeah, well, what should she do if you were giving her advice?
What medicine would you take if you happened to have this and I would just tell my friend?
Yeah, no. So anyway, she's a hot mess. But I was like, oh, my gosh, you know who I used to date? Are you ready?
No.
So being like so messed up, you date anyone who will have you because you can't have a lapse of singleness.
Okay. I can't relate to this at all.
I know. I'm like, so I dated this guy when I was living in Louisiana. And I was so lonely and he was so hot. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. He's like actually hot. And my age for once. It turns out he wasn't like 40 years older than me.
For those who don't know, Laura tended to date way older.
I needed a dad and I just went ahead and found them.
Yeah.
So anywho, he turns out he had had 3 DUIs.
Stop it.
Marissa, 3.
Stop.
1, 2, 3.
Laura, the chances of someone getting caught doing 1 DUI,
are very low, I know.
Let alone 3, is astronomical.
I know.
And he was your age?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was like 2 years older than me.
Okay.
And so, and then it got worse.
Okay.
And I was I was like a month in now, and I was like, well, we all make mistakes. Like, you know. Now, keep in mind, I was living in a small town in Louisiana trying to get my news career up and going. So I was just like, I had nothing better to do. I was alone, which we know I don't like the A word.
But we couldn't possibly find anyone else who had one DUI, maybe?
Now, keep in mind, I was living in a town where people still freely use the N word.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, when I say standard, there was
our standards
literally,
are a little off.
There were literally no other men to choose from didn't use the N word.
Sorry, I have so many questions. Where did you meet this guy?
On a dating site.
Okay. All right. This gives me great hope.
Which I did all the time.
Okay.
Because of course I did.
3 DUIs.
Yep. So 3 DUIs. I'm like, meh. Okay. I'll get over that. I mean, I was like, who am I to judge? I have my own flaws. This is what I always used to tell myself. Even though like now I'm looking back, I was like, damn, I was like a 10.
Right.
I was like a whole package, had a career and everything.
You know what I always say? I'm a great catch.
Yeah. Like, well, I used to think I was not.
And you are a great catch.
And it turns out I was.
Yeah.
But I mean, at that time, because now I'm a mess. But so I was just like, oh, you know, I've got my own flaws. He had to blow into a breathalyzer to turn his car on.
I don't believe you.
Marissa.
I just don't believe you.
Marissa. So I didn't know that until the first day I had to get into his car.
So we were going on a date. I'm trying to decide what question I want to ask first. I will first ask you the question, what was that like when you sit down in the passenger seat and does he say, hang on just a second, like just got to do this little right here?
Yeah, so like I had known about the DUIs. I think that was like his, let me just crack the case like right off after our first couple dates or whatever. Let me just tell you something that's bad.
Right, like I snore whenever I sleep. I have 3 DUIs.
Yeah,
I like cold chat, like whatever.
So once I had digested that information and moved forward, he must have thought, okay, we're ready for step 2 to get into the car and see the device. And that's what happened. So we get in and I'm like, huh, what's that giant box connected to your ignition?
Was it in the center console? Is it on the main
console? It was connected. So like it just hung out in the center console so you could grab it and move it, you know, because you don't want to like suck the steering wheel. So he would like grab this thing and he's like, Laura, so I told you about the DUIs. So part of the last one was a court ordered breathalyzer to turn on my car.
Oh my God.
And I'm just like, I'm dead. Like, get me out of this podunk town.
Please
already.
Tell me you left the vehicle.
But I was on a contract for news.
Please,
and again,
tell me that you
the
left
fire to the achieve vehicle. My career, Marissa.
Please
was so,
tell me that you left so the vehicle.
If you're even right, you're just gonna fall over and die when you hear the next thing. You're just gonna die.
Please tell me that you left the vehicle.
We had a glass or two of wine in my house before getting into the car. So,
how do you turn my mic off?
Are you ready?
I'm going to curse.
Marissa, I had to blow in it.
Laura!
So, like, I thought we had a glass of wine and, like, hours had passed. We were chatting and then we get into the car. No big deal. But turns out he was, like, secretly drinking in my kitchen.
Laura!
Because obviously he's a raging alcoholic. I mean, looking back, I'm like, what is that? I graduated from a prestigious university with a degree. I didn't see this. I didn't know what an alcoholic was back then because I'd never encountered one.
Okay, wait. So you're...
My parents were teetotalers, so I'd never seen... an alcoholic.
You're sitting in this man's front seat.
Yeah.
He says, yeah, you know, after the third DUI, they just kind of had to install this
court
box.
Court ordered, you know.
Yeah, court ordered. But yeah, you know, do you mind blowing in this for me?
No, that's when he said, I had more than what you saw. And he made it real soft, like, oh, you know how when you're cooking, you just drink, you don't know. And it turns out it was like half the bottle. He's like, so I don't think I'll be under 0.08 or whatever it was. And he's like, do you mind to turn on the car? And of course, I'm sitting in shock.
So it wouldn't even turn on, let alone go without
no,
actually.
No, you had to. And then it periodically makes you do a while driving.
No.
So like, I blew. I did. I blew and it didn't work. And he's like, no, you have to blow harder. So I'm like,
what part of the story is going to shock me?
So I was like dying. And I was like getting lightheaded. I had to blow so hard. And finally, boom, boom, the car turns on and off we go on to our date. And I'm just sitting here like, I need to reevaluate my life.
Laura.
Is this even worth it?
So this man admits to you that he is not of the legal driving alcohol limit.
Right.
You blow for him and then proceed to allow him to drive you to whatever destination you two were going to.
Okay, so like I come from a Hispanic family. People mm-hmm. drink. It's no big deal. It's like a cultural thing. But again, I'd never seen alcohol. I didn't know that, like, you know, I didn't think about him being impaired. I don't know why. I was an idiot. Okay.
Well.
So then we like go on and then like later on, maybe a month later, I find out he has a child.
Oh, surprise.
And I was like, okay. And then it was like this whole thing. I get over that.
That was the breaking point.
No,
not
I get over that.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I missed that part. Okay.
I was like, all right. He's a good dad. It's kind of sweet.
It's sexy.
And then I didn't think about why didn't you tell me earlier. And then I found out he had some other child.
Wait.
Keep in mind, I'm 22.
So we're having a discussion. I find out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't believe you had a child you didn't discuss with me.
But it's like he was like, we're, you know, divorced. It's not like he was like lying about
some
secret life.
Oh, so he was a deadbeat dad.
No,
too.
He's like has him half the time and everything. Uh-huh. Like, oh, showing me pictures. And I didn't tell you because, you know, I didn't want you to just not even give me a chance.
At that point, you just throw the second child in. If you're going to be forgiving of the first one, just say, oh, yeah, well, did I say one? Oh, sorry, I meant two.
Well,
there's
maybe
this other
he
woman.
Didn't, Marissa, because he says it's probably not his.
Oh,
and doesn't own up to that one.
So he is a deadbeat dad.
Oh, right. He is. But he needs a DNA test. Right. And she's a hoe.
Yeah.
And I don't believe she's just in it for money. Mm-hmm. So he's not paying child support on one.
Right.
But he is on the other.
Right.
So we didn't work out.
No.
So, but yeah, we didn't work out. But it took a long time for me to get to that.
So that was the final straw. The
no, I stayed with him after that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Uh-huh. All right. Yep. And then it was when I found out he still lived at home that I think that's when had to bow. No, wait. I'm not being self-righteous. I slept in his parents' house. Several times. Times.
I'm actually speechless.
Yeah, because he lived 2 hours away. So I went to visit him and I was like, we pull up to this giant house. I was like, oh my God, he's like totally rich. Like, this is going to make it all worth it.
Right.
Right. And we walk in and there are his parents. And he like introduces me to his parents without warning me, nothing. And then goes on about how the DUIs caused him to like not be able to get a place of his own because they're so expensive to get out
of. Course.
And all these things. And, you know, with his kid, he just wants to provide the best. So, yeah, like, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This all makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. knowing you now.
Yeah, he's probably not the worst guy I've ever dated, if that really helps you. Just wrap your head around. He's probably one of the better dudes I've dated.
And how appreciative you are for Mike every single day of your life. Yeah. Wow, yeah. Laura. Yeah. Well, I told you about the guy. Speaking, you mentioned pulling up to a parent's house. I told you about the guy that pulled up to his ex-girlfriend's parent's house while we were on the date, right?
Why?
So this guy actually works in our building, which or used to. He used to work in our building. And he had asked me, you know, time and time again, hey, you know, let me just take you out on a date. Let me, you know, take you out for dinner, blah, blah, blah. And I kept turning him down multiple times. So eventually I finally caved. I had a weekend free. I said, fine. I said, no problem. We'll go out and, you know, you choose where we go. You can surprise me. So we get to a go-karting location.
Oh my God. First, that's so high school.
Go on. I'm what? 24, 25 right. years old.
I'm a grown-ass woman.
And we're going go-karting. Okay. So we get out at the go-karting location. Go-karting probably averages, I don't know, like $12 or something
and
like
on
that.
On a first date to go-kart is so weird. We don't even know each other.
We hadn't even had conversations before. Oh, it was simply just he had seen me in the hallway. He sent me an email. This was going to be like our first time. Like,
wait, were you in a dress? Please tell me you were in
a dress. No, I was in a skirt. I was in a top and a sin skirt. And fortunately, I had sneakers on. Thank God. You know, like cute sneakers. Mm. Anyway, so we get out. We get in line to go go-karting. And obviously, he's a gentleman, so he's going to pay. Except he wasn't comfortable with the $12 admission price per person. So this man starts to negotiate with the owner of the go-karting place, saying, so 20, 12, 24... What about $18? Here, I'll give you $18.
Like it's a garage sale.
And I'm standing there mortified, Laura. So they're haggling. We are not at like a yard sale. This isn't an auction. This is like the prices. The prices are posted on a poster board. Right.
You're like, no, this is the price.
That's what you pay.
And if you don't come here.
Precisely.
Yeah. You turn around and go home.
So I'm just sitting there. I'm turning red. I'm so embarrassed. I finally reach into my own wallet and I said, hey, you know what, no problem, let me get my ticket. And he's like, no, I'm gonna pay for you. So finally I just kind of like backed away once he said that he was gonna take care of it, because I was so embarrassed for him. But I think he thought that it was like sexy, you know, having a man negotiate for a woman. I don't know what the mentality was.
So or he's just a moron,
or he's just, well,
and a cheapskate.
So get this, it gets worse. We decide that after go-karting he wanted to take me to get frozen yogurt. Great, sounds good. So we hop in his car, drive to the frozen yogurt place. We get out and he says, what flavor do you want? And I chose something, I don't know, I think it was like key lime or something like that. And he says, oh. And he starts around. He starts fiddling around in his pocket. He's going through his wallet and he pulls out this slip of paper and he looks at it. He examines it front and back and he says, you know, that's not valid with my coupon. So is there a second choice that you have that you wanted to choose?
The key lime didn't fall under the flavors approved.
On his free coupon, right? What is Froyo? $6 maximum if you get all the toppings. I just wanted key lime yogurt and that was it. But it was not valid with his free coupon. So he made me choose a different flavor, like vanilla, that was valid with it. But he drove me. So what am I supposed to do? I can't go home, right? So finally we sit down, we go through some sort of painful conversation, knowing that it was just going to be, I'm never going to see this man again in my life.
Did he know?
Oh, he was into it. He was so
He didn't know that you were like, never going to see you again.
I faked it pretty well because we worked in the same work environment. I was like, I'm going to have to see him again. It's going to be awkward, but I'm not going to be rude, right? So we proceed to get in his car and next thing we know, instead of driving to where my car was, he starts taking all these back roads. And I'm thinking, well, certainly this is when I get kidnapped. I'm going to be murdered. Like, I don't understand where he's going. So finally I asked him, I said, where are you taking me? Oh, it's a surprise. It's a surprise. You're going to love it. And meanwhile, I'm like, okay. So next thing you know, we're pulling up in front of some mansion, right? And he stops the car, puts it in park, rolls down the window. And I was like, where are we?
Like, okay.
He said, see that house right there? He's like, that is my ex-girlfriend's parents' house, who's like a part owner in NASCAR. He goes, isn't it huge? Do you want to get out and look at it?
Notice I'm stunned. And you know what my life was like. So for me to be stunned.
I said, excuse me? He's like, yeah, isn't that so cool? He's like, can you believe how big it is? So this man took me on a detour so that I could go on a viewing of his ex-girlfriend's home.
And then what happened next?
And then I said, you know what? It's a little bit chilly outside. I'm good. Thank you. Can you just take me back to my car, please?
Wow. Yes.
And we continued. This is why you should never date coworkers, because we continued to work in the building for together for, I don't know, probably 2 years together, where I couldn't speak to him when I saw him in the hallway. I mean, good God.
Oh my gosh. I kind of do remember that story.
Yeah. 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 So there's that.
I feel slightly better.
No, I mean, yours is worse. Yours is definitely, definitely worse.
Oh my gosh. So I dated this one guy. Wait, are we in any way helping anyone?
No. I mean, if anything,
I just want to be sure.
If anything, maybe it'll just make someone else feel better about their lives.
But going back to the time that I had those 3 months alone,
yeah.
I think it's important to show you that all of these things that I'm telling you happened before those 3 months.
True.
So after the 3 months I spent alone and single, it really did change my life. I'm telling you, now, every woman should do it.
After the 3 months that you spent single, is that when Mike came along, or you had a few more like rocky relationships before you found Mike?
No, because we were dating when I did the 3 months.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
So we had been dating for a year.
My Laura Diaz dating timeline is wild.
We dated for like 3 years.
Okay.
And in between there, you know, I needed to know that this was really right. And I wasn't just clinging on to him because he was like a cockroach and would never like die. You know, like I'd keep trying to step on him and it was just like hanging in. So anyway, before Mike, yeah, like I dated so many scumbags, including what you were saying. It just made me think of it at work. You just never date someone at work. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it.
Don't do it. It's so tempting, especially in my 20s. It was so tempting because there was just so many cute guys everywhere.
Well, and it's just so convenient. Yeah. You know, I mean, you have, well, you know, do the same eyes people as and you're it's passing. Fun. Yeah.
It was just, you know, and especially when I was in the news business, it was just like, you know, you're in these high stress situations. We're covering murders and crimes and all this stuff. And you're like, oh, the deadline's at 5 o'clock, is now 4:30, and you got to have your story and be live on the air.
Right.
It's just very sexy, you know? And it's just, so we would be, me and the camera guy would be in these like cars for 8 hours at a time, driving to the scene of a crime. And so eventually you get to know these camera people really well. And if you look around, even in major news stations, you'll see a lot of news people are married to their camera people or former camera people or whatever, because you just end up getting this really tight relationship. One of the camera guys I dated, because I dated more than one,
narrow it down.
Apparently he liked me more than I liked him.
Oh yeah,
that can happen. Okay,
because I'm a great catch.
Let me tell you something, I pursued this man before that happened like a psycho.
What?
Because he wasn't interested and that bothered me.
Right, because how could you not like
he wouldn't like flirt with me. Yeah. He wouldn't like, you know what I'm saying?
I will give you credit for this, because that is incredibly frustrating when you're like, I know I'm amazing, an amazing catch. I know I look great today. Why would someone not be interested in me?
Okay, we're obviously terrible people, which we've just, you know, validated that. So now that we got that out of the way, as a terrible person, you know, and probably currently terrible, but I was even worse.
That wasn't past tense for me. I still think that.
I was so bad and even more narcissistic. And so this guy was like, meh, average. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, he was like a 6.5.
Okay. Okay.
And so, but he was like really tall and kind of quirky. And there's just something about him that I thought was sexy. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to throw this guy a bone and flirt with him today. You know, I'm going to make his day, you know, whoa, he's going to go home and tell all of his friends that Laura Diaz.
You're not going to believe who came on to me.
And I was like, an anchor is like, oh, the anchor talking to this measly camera person.
God, Laura.
I'm just going to like, I'm going to lower myself to this today. And he was not, I mean, he was like, ew. Okay. Like nothing back. It was like, it was like flirting with a wall. And I was like, that just sparked a flame in me you've never seen.
But maybe he was just trying to keep it professional. I mean, maybe it
wasn't. Right, because he was like an intelligent, decent human being who just wanted to go to work and go home, like, as he should have.
And not create any drama, which we are drawn to.
And I think he was, like, mentally healthy, and that was weird for me. You know, like, everything was all correct in him. And so I was like, you're not going to talk to me. Just wait. So the next day I come in just all decked out, you know, and I was like, today I'm going to play hard to get. Didn't work.
Oh, no.
So then the next day I come in, I'm like, now I'm going to go overboard flirting. Didn't work. So what I'm trying to get at is it took me like 2 solid months of like strategically going home, like Hail Mary pass, like writing out like, you know, graphs, plays. Like a football play. Yeah, plays. That's what I was looking for. I would be like in my head making plays of like, okay, well, maybe this is how I'm going to do it.
Isn't that there is nothing that could ruin self-esteem more than thinking, well, I'm just going to ignore him and then he's going to pay attention to me. And then they never do.
No. It was like getting awkward at some point. I was like, there was a point, Marissa, when I thought, could he report me at this point? Like, could I be fired at some point for this sexual harassment? See, what I had going for me, though, was that he hadn't reported me yet.
Okay. So there's still hope. We still have hope.
Okay. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, once you get reported, then you have to stop.
Right.
So we weren't there yet. And I wasn't technically touching him in any way. I could act like it was just my personality, you know? So eventually I broke him down like really bad, you know, broke him to just pieces.
He's crawling.
The guy
after
was just obsessed with me.
Laura.
Okay. So then we're like hanging out a little bit and I just realized that he's just a regular guy. And it was so uninteresting. Like his apartment was like, just, you know, and it was like, wasn't really that clean. And I was like, that's not going to work for me. And then like, he wasn't that experienced, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, that's not going to work for me. And all these things weren't going to work for me. So
because the thrill of the chase is over. Half of the fun is just trying to land him.
Right.
And then
once
you're like,
he did,
well, I mean,
it was just so, it wasn't this big explosion of success that I like, it didn't satisfy me the way I thought it would. So here we are just like casually. Well, I thought it was casually dating. I guess he was like wedding bells galore. And I was just like, I don't know. I talked to like my sisters and I'm just seeing this guy, you know. And I guess he was just really serious. And one day we were like, I like had to break it to him. I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work for me. And I'm just going to move on to the next victim. And he lost his mind. We're talking about a guy who wouldn't say 2 words to me for 2 months. And we're on a crime scene. We were at a scene of a crime. Yellow tape everywhere. We had officers galore. And he loses it. He punches the news car,
what?
Marissa, and breaks his hand.
He was so mad
that I had like broken up with him. And even though I had already broken up with him like the night before, we just happened to have to work together the next day at work. And like, I thought, oh, well, this is going to be easy. We're just going to be professional. We're adults.
We're adults. We'll just move on.
He was just like, I don't bleep and understand why you're breaking my heart. And like punches the news van, breaks his hand, news van dented. We have to go back and like explain to the officers we're all right. Cause they're coming over like, great, now we have another crime
scene.
We're
dealing with a murder and a drug scene and whatever going, an explosion. And you guys like, can't even get your bleep together enough to report on it.
I was mortified. I was just like, oh my God, and I was about to say his name. I was like, oh my God, so-and-so, stop it. Calm down. Okay, we can date. Like, I was just like I'll say pity. Anything.
Like,
well, I wanted to say
date.
Anything to get out of the scene that we were causing. I was just like, I would have been like, I'll marry you. I would have said anything.
Did your coworkers know that you guys were dating?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Then everything starts.
Like, you know, I never told anyone, but it was people aren't idiots. Yeah. And so, and
I'm just wondering how he explained the dent in the news van.
You know, and to this day, I still don't know.
Really?
To this day, I don't know how he explained the dent, because we ended up having to drive back to the station and like go on about our lives.
Does he still work in the city?
No, he's not even in the state.
Oh, man.
He actually like was way better off after me. So like,
as are most
obviously,
people.
Can't really get any lower than the evil human being that I am. So yeah, he like actually is like super successful, happy in another state, is still a camera guy, and I'm sure he's like with a decent human.
Yeah.
And that's lovely.
Right.
But
we're happy for
him. I still don't know how he explained it away, and that wasn't the last camera guy I dated.
So the moral of all of this, I have two takeaways, if you don't mind.
Yes.
My first takeaway, which we've already discussed, is don't date coworkers. Just completely ignore that.
Oh, just don't, people. Just don't.
My second takeaway is that I've learned a lot about you in this, you know, hour or so that we've been sitting here, and you give me hope that I can one day find a mate for me.
Yeah. You can.
Despite my flaws.
You can. And you will.
There's another mic out there.
Yeah, there's got to be another mic out there somewhere. But the sad news is, Marissa, that you have to go crazy to find them. That's my takeaway. As we're talking it out, I'm like, wait. So the moral of the story is to have your happy ending with Prince Charming, which is exactly what this man is.
Right, of course.
You have to lose your mind, date alcoholics who have to breathe into a breathalyzer to turn their car on. Like, crush people's souls who are in love with you, and then you just drop them like a bad habit. Then you're going to find them.
Certainly, there's got to be an easier
way. So let's get started. And we also have learned that definitely you should be single for a short amount of time.
I think that is actually, out of all of this nonsense that we've been talking about, that is a really good takeaway, really valuable.
Even if you're in the corner of your apartment, fetal position, hating it, just do it.
Yeah. And come hang out with us. We'll talk you through it.
We'll certainly make you feel better about your life.
That's true.